Healing Scriptures, Proverbs 4, 20-22. My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Joshua 21, verse 45. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken. All came to pass. God's word does not fail. Philippians 2:13. God's will is healing, and it's working in us. Philippians says, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do, for his good pleasure." Romans 8:11. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. 2 Corinthians 1:20. God is for you. He is for us. 2 Corinthians says, "For all the promises of God in him," in Jesus, "are yes, and in him," that's Jesus, "amen, to the glory of God through us." My note is, learn the word of God. Keep it in your heart, for it is power. Words are power. We fill the atmosphere around us with words that either heal or destroy, and we need to choose healing. Matthew 8, verses 2 and 3. This explains that it is God's will for you to be healed. A leper came to Jesus and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus said these simple words, "I am willing, be cleansed." And the leper was cleansed. Exodus 15:26 is about obedience to God's word and our healing. It says, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians or allowed or permitted on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you." The scripture explains that disease comes from the enemy of our souls and healing from God. God does not put diseases on us. Our own sin can provide a landing strip, or even sin against us that causes us to be unforgiving can provide a landing strip for the enemy to place disease upon us. This scripture does not mean we have to be perfect to be healed. It means that we repent of our sins and receive the healing and the atonement for all sins through the blood and the body of Jesus. None of us are perfect. None of us could possibly deserve what Jesus did for us, but he did it anyway, and he did it out of love, and we can receive the healing, and we can receive the forgiveness. Exodus 23:25 is about serving the Lord and healing being yours. "So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and he says, I will take sickness away from the midst of you." Serving the Lord is having a heart for the Lord, knowing his word, communicating with him regularly. It again is not being perfect. We cannot be perfect enough to deserve to be healed, but Jesus healed us. He took the stripes that heal us, and he did it anyway out of love. Deuteronomy 7:15, God takes all sickness away from you. It says, "And the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you." This really doesn't say he'll take away any part or certain kinds of sicknesses. It says all. and all means all. So there is not a disease that is beyond the healing power of God and His Word. And Jesus actually, as Dodie Osteen says, specializes in the difficult cases, the ones that doctors throw up their hands and leave the room shaking their heads about. Malachi 3:10 is about obedience to God's commandments and receiving His blessings. It says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And prove me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." Giving to the Lord's work is like planting seeds. You must plant seeds in order to harvest the good that God wants for us. Psalm 103, 1 through 5 is a favorite of mine and has helped me greatly as I overcame the enemy's attack of pancreatic cancer on my life a few years ago. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits." The benefits are these: who forgives all your iniquities or sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. This particular scripture is one I committed to memory and recite as I'm driving in the car all the time, really, because it is sustaining and it is uplifting and it is a faith maker. Scripture, God's Word, bolsters and creates and grows our faith. And the more we listen and the more we speak it, the more faith we have, the God kind of faith that makes receiving our healing very much easier. Psalm 107:20 talks about how God's Word is healing. It says, "He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction." Psalm 118, verse 17, talks about how God wants us to live. He gives us life. He's our Father, our heavenly loving Father. He doesn't want to take it away from us. So He teaches in His Word, through David, through the psalmist, "I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord." And the declaring the works of the Lord is very important, for our healing brings us a testimony. And every time we share that testimony, it is a prophecy for the healing of someone else. If God has done it once, God will do it again, because He never changes. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. It is a choice to live. It is a choice to fight disease. It says, "I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants," and some translations say your seed, "may live." We do make a conscious choice. We have to tell the devil to take his hands off of us, that He will not destroy us, that we choose life because our God has promised it to us. Psalm 91:16, "With long life I will satisfy Him and show Him my salvation." Beautiful scripture, beautiful scripture. Long life is God's desire for us because He has a plan for us, plans to prosper us and not harm us, plans to lead us to our expected end. Isaiah 53:5. This is a scripture that many people do not understand until they learn it when they are sick. People don't discern the body of Christ. We know about the blood, and we know about the blood washing away sin. But the stripes that He took, the scourging that He took at the hands of Pontius Pilate, very much part of the prophecy, because this is the prophecy in Isaiah 53:5. "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. The stripes are the furrows that the cat of nine tails plowed through the back, the bare back of Christ Jesus as he was strapped to a post. The cat of nine tails is a whip with a lot of long lashes on it. And in those lashes, they would embed pieces of metal and bone. And they would literally strip the hide and muscle off of the person being whipped. And it was brutal. There are places in the scripture that said Jesus was beat beyond recognition. That was for the healing of our bodies. It's been done. It's been paid for. We are healed. We are healed. The devil would like us to think otherwise, but we are healed. In the spiritual realm, which dovetails with the natural realm, when we have the faith of God. We can't screw up our faces and raise our faith. But living in God's Word, breathing God's Word, hearing God's Word, speaking God's Word, builds the God kind of faith that brings us to realizing that healing. Jeremiah 30:17 says, "For I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds." Matthew 18:18 talks about how you take authority over the sickness in your body. Doctors may tell you that they can't do any more. They may tell you that you have a certain amount of time left. They may tell you many ominous things are going to happen to you. But you have authority because the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit that Jesus sent when he was resurrected, is inside of believers. So Matthew 18:18 says, "Assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." You can put your name in this. Whatever I bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever I permit or allow or loose on earth will be permitted in earth. We have authority through Jesus Christ. Matthew 18:19 talks about agreement with someone for our healing. And it says, "Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." That's an amazing scripture. It doesn't leave any room for doubt. If two or more of us agree in our prayers concerning anything that we ask, it will be done for us by our Holy Father in heaven. But he needs us to pray. He needs us to ask so that he can release his ministering angels and bring us the healing that he wants to bring us. Seek and ye shall find. Ask and it will be given. Knock and the door will be opened. We must seek, we must ask, we must believe. Mark 11:22-23 is an absolutely critical scripture because what it tells us, teaches us, what we say will make a difference. What we say can be heard by the enemy because he cannot read our mind. And he is afraid of our words. And if we speak them, if we speak the word of God, which he is particularly afraid of, then our faith becomes strong and the enemy becomes weak. That is submitting to the Lord and resisting the enemy, and he will flee, as it tells us in the chapter of James, in the book of James. Mark 11:22-23. Have faith in God. The real Greek in this is have the faith of God. For God will give us faith through his word. Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. And back in those days, in the days of Jesus, that was a way of saying, say to this problem, say to this obstacle, say to this something that's hindering us and hurting us that we think we can't move. That's what the mountain is. Be removed and cast into the sea. And does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Cancer is a mountain of sickness, but it can be dissolved either immediately or over time with persistence. Our bodies respond to our words. Mark 11:24 is an absolutely huge and critical scripture about believing and receiving. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Remarkable. Many times when I was overcoming cancer, my body didn't feel very healed and I didn't look very healed. And people would, if I would have allowed it, would have come in and told me that I wouldn't be healed. But I kept them away from me. I kept anyone away from me who would not let me believe what this scripture said. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Believe it. It is true. God's word is true. One morning when I was fighting cancer, I woke up and the first thing, my eyes popped open one morning and I was in a lot of pain and discomfort and despair because pancreatic cancer is considered an incurable type. And immediately the Holy Spirit quickened in my spirit just these words, "My word is true." And suddenly I felt as though the mountain had turned to dust and moved out of my way. So I want to share with you, God's word is true. Isaiah 43:25-26 are basically a way that you can pray pleading your case to God. It reads, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Let me contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. In the King James Version, it says in verse 26 of Isaiah 43, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that that may be justified. I brought my case to God. I prayed. Father, I plead my case to you and I ask you to show me things that have been wrong in my life that I can correct. And God will show you those things that you can correct. And the worst one probably that most sick people have is that there is some place in their life where there's bitterness or unforgiveness or worry or fear. And you have to give those things to the Lord, for those things are sin. Because faith cannot coexist with fear. Mark 16:17-18. It's important when someone else prays for you that someone is a person of faith, not as someone who is hoping against hope, who's shaking their head and saying, oh, well, I'm going to pray for you, but we know it won't work. It's important to not let those people pray for you. Let people pray for you who believe God's word. And have them lay hands on you for healing. Because Mark 16:17-18 says, and these signs shall follow those who believe. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I'm going to read that again. And these signs shall follow those who believe. They will lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. It's true. It is true. John 9:31 is about worshiping God. Worship. God inhabits our worship, our praise, and he hears us. He wants fellowship. If anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. The worship, the prayer, the fellowship, it's all healing. John 10:10 reminds us that it's the enemy of our soul, the devil, who wants to kill us, but God wants to heal us. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. The scripture is one to memorize and quote often, reminding us that who our real enemy is and to stand firm against him, because he has been made impotent by the resurrection of Jesus. But we must remember it and claim it and fill ourselves with it. The devil comes, does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy, the thief, the enemy. But Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Many people quote that as kill, steal, and destroy, but it is steal, kill, and destroy. And what is he stealing from us? He's stealing God's word, because if we forget God's word, if we doubt God's word, then the enemy has won. He's planted successful thoughts of gloom and doom, and gloom and doom brings more gloom and doom. Galatians 3:13-14. Tells us that we're redeemed from the curse of our ancestors. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham may come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. We, as Christians, Gentile Christians, now are no longer subject to the curse of the law. We are Abraham's seed through Christ. The curse of the law was basically outlined in Deuteronomy, and it was all about sickness and poverty and sin. But Jesus came and he gave himself willingly, died in our place, substituted for us on the cross, and taking the scourging, he took the curse of sin, sickness, and poverty upon himself. It's paid for. We are heirs of healing. It was willed to us, just as a benefactor might will their property to us. Hebrews 10:23 keeps us from wavering in our faith. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. God is faithful. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. But God wants us, wants to prosper us, wants to heal us, wants to bring us to our, fulfill the plan that he has for us. And that plan he has for us takes our whole life, the long life that he wants for us. Hebrews 10:35, you can have confidence in God and his word. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Keep your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Word. Whatever happens, whatever the doctors tell you, keep your confidence. Look for your healing. Don't look for your disease. Every day, thank God for the progress that you have made in your healing. And as you are grateful and you thank God, that grows exponentially and the healing increases. You're planting seed with your words, and you harvest what you plant. If you plant negative words, you'll harvest negative. If you plant positive words, you'll harvest positive. Hebrews 13:8 talks about how Jesus never changed. What he did in the Bible, he'll do today. He is the same as he was when he walked on this earth. The writer of Hebrews tells us, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is important. He didn't quit doing miracle healings. He didn't quit blessing us when he went to live at the right hand of his Father, our Father, our Heavenly Father. 3 John 2, God's highest wish. He loves us. It says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. And again, our soul is our mind and our will and our emotions. So we must take every thought captive, because it is our thoughts that the enemy uses against us. So we cannot take ownership of those negative thoughts that the enemy plants. He plants them to steal God's word from us. James 5, 14, 15 is important to me because I had not been in God's word, but a friend advised me to follow this scripture soon after my diagnosis with pancreatic cancer, and it began my healing. I didn't have an instantaneous miracle, but I had a great anointing experience that built my faith gradually and led me to my healing. James 5, 14 and 15 says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." And I basically had committed sins because I was bitter about some things and unforgiving about some things. And that had to be removed from me first before I could receive my physical healing. Some things that happened to me I had a right to be bitter about, but that didn't matter. Bitterness will kill us. 1 Peter 2:24, very important because it harkens back to the Old Testament scripture of Isaiah 53. 1 Peter 2:24, talking about Jesus already paying the price for our healing, who himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. His righteousness, which he gave us, is a free gift. We just receive it by believing in him. Might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed, already. 1 John 5:14 and 15. This is about being confident in our prayers. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. I can't add anything to that. It couldn't be simpler. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we can't ask for $1 million. We don't work for it. We ask according to his will. His word is his will. And we already have seen in his word that he wants to heal us, all of our diseases, all of our sicknesses. If we ask according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we will have the petitions that we have asked of him. 1 John 3, verses 21 and 23. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. If we're not getting our prayers answered, there may be willful sin in our lives, and we need to think about these things and repent. Repent means to reverse 180 degrees. Repent within our hearts and change. It may be worry again. It may be something that does not seem like it should be a sin. It may be sin against us that we have not forgiven someone else for. It's very important to our healing to clean ourselves up inside. 2 Timothy 1:7 talks about the fear, because fear is not of God. And it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." 2 Corinthians 10, 4-5 says, "Cast down those thoughts and imaginations that don't line up with God's word." That's what Dodie Osteen says about it. And she was healed miraculously of metastatic liver cancer back in the 1980s. And she's still going strong and has a wonderful ministry. 2 Corinthians 10, 4-5 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, the casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That is the part about taking every thought captive, because the mind, the will, and the emotions is where the enemy tries to do his damage. Ephesians 6:10 through 13 talks about our strength in the Lord, putting on the armor to fight for our healing. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." It's important, it says, to take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand. Verses 14 and 17 of Ephesians 6 continue. "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Faith and the Word of God will turn back every fiery dart, every horrible thought, every fact that makes you look as though you're doomed. Facts are not truth. The truth is the Word of God. Revelations 12:11 is a testimony of your healing, and it tells how important that is. It says, "And they overcame him," the devil, "by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." Your testimony strengthens your healing, strengthens your health. God wants you healed, but mostly he wants you healthy of mind, body, and spirit. He loves you. He touches you and heals you and wants you to remain healthy. So use your testimony to strengthen and help others with their healing. Nahum, chapter 1, verse 9, is amazing, and it's not often quoted. It says, "Affliction will not rise up a second time." Your sickness isn't going to come back on you again if you are truly healed. And you, as Jesus said to so many of those people that he healed, "Go and sin no more. Keep yourself pure." That doesn't mean you have to be perfect. It means you submit to the Lord and resist the enemy, and he will flee. Jeremiah 30:17 says, "I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds." Start the day every day in Scripture and in confessions. "This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it," as Psalm 118, verse 24 says. For we must remember again Isaiah 53:5. "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed." As Ephesians 6:10 tells us, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And as Galatians 3:13 says, again, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." The joy of the Lord is our strength, Nehemiah 8:10. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." 1 John 4:4, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." This is a key scripture, for Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be in us. And certainly the enemy is not greater than Jesus' own spirit. Psalm 103, 1 and 5, "Bless the Lord who satisfies my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles." God has given us healthy food, healthy ingredients to recreate our bodies on a regular basis. It's important that we do our part and mix the natural with the supernatural. Isaiah 40:29. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Deuteronomy 31:7-9. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. And that he told the Hebrew children when they entered the wilderness. They were afraid. They had mountains in front of them, but he never left them. Joshua 1:8-9. Thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Many, many, many times that's repeated in Scripture. Be strong and of good courage. I will be with you. Hebrews 13:3. The Lord said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews 4:3. For only we who believe can enter his rest. Rest is trust. 2 Corinthians 4:8-10. Amplified Bible. We're hedged in, pressed on every side, troubled and oppressed in every way, but not cramped and crushed. We suffer embarrassments and are perplexed and unable to find a way out, but not drawn to despair. We are pursued, persecuted, and hard driven, but not deserted to stand alone. We are struck down to the ground, but never struck out and destroyed, always carrying about in the body the liability and exposure to some putting to death, to the same putting to death that the Lord Jesus suffered, so that the resurrection life of Jesus also may be shown forth by and in our bodies. That resurrection power is the dunamis power. It's the word we get dynamite from. Think of the power of the resurrection. That was unbelievable. And that same power is in us. It's a gift of the Lord. Psalm 103:2-4. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Our righteousness is his righteousness. Our health is his health. Romans 8:2. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, his unmerited favor. That's what grace means. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Psalm 107:20. I'm going to read it again. He sent his word and healed them, healed us, healed you, and delivered them, us, you, from their destruction. Exodus 23:25. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. So shall, this is Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word that goes forth out of my mouth, so shall be my word that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. God's word cannot return void. We speak it out, and it never dies. It stays in the atmosphere. This is might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself, Jesus, took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. That's Matthew 8:17. That same message is in Isaiah 53. It's in 2 Peter 2:24. And now it's in Matthew 8:17. And as we know, in the mouth of three witnesses, it's very and very important passages in the Bible. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there are any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. It's important to think about the positive. Think about the good things. Laugh. Joke. See good pictures in your mind. Joshua 1:6, be strong and of good courage. 1 Chronicles 28:20, David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God will not fail thee. Isaiah 41:10, fear there not, for I am with thee. 2 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Mark 5:36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. That was the synagogue ruler that came to Jesus because his little daughter was dying. John 10:10, again, the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, they might have it more abundantly. Isaiah 54:17, very important. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Deuteronomy 30:19, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Luke 9:1, he gave them power and authority to drive out all the demons and to cure diseases. James 4:7, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 1 Corinthians 15:57, 58, but thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Mark 11:23-24. Whoever say to this unto this mountain, this problem, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, those things which he saith, shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith. That also means if you say negative things, you'll have those. So say positive things. Speak your healing. Do not give your disease credibility. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Matthew 16:19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's having some power right there. Isaiah 26:3, end every day with God. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Deuteronomy 4:31, the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee. Proverbs 3:24, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Hebrews 13:5, the Lord said, I will never leave thee or forsake thee.